Hi guys, it's Brittany
and welcome to One Hot Mess.
All right guys, today we're going to be talking about getting in tune with yourself and discovering your inner harmony by doing certain things. So let's get into it. Have you been feeling disconnected from yourself lately? Maybe you've been going through the motions of your daily routine, but it doesn't feel quite right anymore. Or maybe you've suddenly developed different preferences in terms of food, music, or even clothing style. Alternatively, you might simply have a sense that something's off, excuse me, but you aren't sure what it is. When we feel like this, it often means that we're not as in tune with ourselves as we could be. And to be in tune with another person means that you two share a feeling of rightness. Everything falls into place well and resonates between you. When it comes to being in tune with yourself, that understanding is turned inward rather than towards someone else. And you know that you're living and behaving in a way that's right for you because it feels right. Nothing feels out of place, forced, or anything like that. And the best way to think about this is to relate the feeling to the sound of a musical instrument. Like, have you ever heard a piano or guitar that's out of tune? It simply sounds just wrong. Chords don't harmonize, notes sound, you know, weird, and any song played on it makes listeners uncomfortable. So, in contrast, a properly tuned instrument creates sounds that elevate the spirit, and the music played on it will be, you know, lovely to listen to. When you're in tune with yourself, you can't help but feel at peace. You'll feel whole and tranquil without stress or conflict. And the feeling that envelops you when you are in this state is just simply serenity. And when you're not attuned to your own nature, there's a sense of disharmony within you. This is where those feelings of not quite rightness can manifest. Maybe your favorite food suddenly doesn't make you feel comforted or nourished anymore. Songs you still love are now getting on your nerves. Exercises that once inspired and energized you now either hurt or bore you. So if you're interested in being more in tune with yourself, there are a number of different things that you can do. And these may differ depending on the person, but you can always make adjustments to these suggestions to, you know, tailor them to your preference. So the first thing is check in with yourself every time you do anything to see if it feels right. Some people, they maintain daily habits or take part in pastimes just simply because they are familiar rather than being things they actually enjoy. And if asked why they do it, they might say that they've always done it that way. You know, it's comfortable for them to continue the practice, even though they may have moved on to be a completely different person than they were when they began it. For instance, someone may have gotten into the habit of eating a bowl of cold cereal every morning for breakfast. They may not even like cold cereal, but it has become such a ritual for them for years, even decades, that they practically do it on autopilot. It's possible that subconsciously, you know, choking down that daily bowl of mushy whatever sets the stage for a day of misery. And by changing things up and having waffles instead, they may be able to shift perspective for the rest of their day. Take note of what upsets you and why. It's become trendy to get offended at the slightest provocation, especially when it comes to virtue signaling to prove one's worth. That said, being truly upset by something is a different story. Offense is usually a fleeting feeling, while upset lingers for quite a while, and it can cause intrusive thoughts and manifest physically as, you know, anxiety, headaches, upset stomach, and so on. And many people try to avoid situations, phrases, or even words that can trigger these upsetting reactions because they're difficult to deal with. However, they might not know the true cause behind them. So taking the time to understand why we get triggered like this can help us to diffuse these reactions so they can stop bothering us. If you know that something you hear, see, or smell upsets you, try to lean into the experience instead of fleeing from it so you can understand it better. Okay, so let's say a particular song is triggering for you because you associate it with the abuse from a parent. When you're feeling safe and grounded, try to go back to that memory that formed that association and attempt to see the bigger picture. You may remember that song was playing when your parent hit you for spilling your glass of milk. Can you remember what their state of mind was like at that time? Was your family very short of money back then, so anything that went to waste was a devastating loss? Did your mother have a recent pregnancy loss, or did a close relative pass away shortly before the incident? When we observe a situation neutrally, instead of through the lens of our own traumatic experience, we can often snip the trigger wire that causes an emotional reaction within us. And understanding other people's poor behaviors toward us doesn't mean justifying or forgiving their actions, but it gives us a broader sense of how everyone involved was affected. Generally, when we can see all the factors that contributed to something we experienced, the trauma associated with it lessens significantly. And doing so allows us to, you know, better understand how our minds and our emotions work. It's a lot easier to be in tune with yourself when you have a few more pages of the instruction manual, right? And as you continue with this exercise, take note of what your strongest triggers tend to be. Are your memories normally associated with scents, sounds, colors, or words? And this is especially helpful if you choose to work with a therapist at some point, either currently or somewhere down the road, by letting them know that you are aware of your own cognitive associations. You give them an extra map so they can help you get to where you want to be. Also, observe your body's natural cycles. Most people don't live in harmony with their own natural cycles, let alone those of the planet. And from a very early age, we program ourselves to function within a daily schedule, whether that's for school, work, or other societal frameworks. And as such, instead of sleeping and walking, not walking, sleeping and waking, according to our individual rhythms, we get startled awake by shrieking alarms and we try to force ourselves to sleep at a set time. So we often find ourselves using various techniques and crutches to help us power through the day. And of course, this might involve a cup of coffee to help us wake up and concentrate in the morning, or, you know, a combination of melatonin, a sleep mask, and well songs to usher us to sleep at night. If you don't have vacation time coming up, see if you can book just a few days to a week off for a mental health reset. You know, a full week or two would be ideal, but work with what's available to you. And during that time, go to bed when you feel tired and sleep until you wake up naturally. And while you're at it, take time to notice what you need to sleep peacefully and wake up refreshed. And do you feel more comfortable if your bedroom door is locked, or when the room is still, silent, and pitch black? Or do you need airflow and a bit of light to drift off peacefully? Or do you wake up naturally as the sun rises? Or does your internal clock snap you alert at a specific time? Just try to take note of different repeated cycles over the course of any given day. A lot of people get a slump in energy around 2 or 3 p.m., which makes them feel tired and less able to concentrate, and this can have several different causes. But the most common ones are fluctuating cortisol levels and the aftermath of a post-lunch sugar spike. So determine which techniques help you move past this, such as a quick nap to reset, if that's an option, or a healthy snack, or walk around the block. Hell, while you're at it, take note of when and if you feel random bouts of joy, anger, or irritation. And map these experiences out over the course of a few months to see if any patterns emerge. And if they do, then you can take the steps to avoid them or do what you need to do with them, you know what I mean? Such as taking some time alone when you know you'll be sensitive, or nourishing yourself more when you know you'll feel depleted. And determine what makes your body feel happiest. And this is not necessarily a sexual thing, though intimacy is a part of it. Think of your body as the home or vehicle you dwell in. And when you look around your house, you probably see items that bring you joy and contentment. Do you have a bed or couch that you find perfectly comfortable? Have you painted the walls in colors that bring you joy? And what about the decor? Now consider whether you treat your body with the same care that you do if you decorate it with trendy things and force it to do things it's ill-suited to. And which movements make you feel happy when you do them? One person might love to lift heavy things and challenge themselves on machines, while another will feel great joy in swimming and dancing. Or while one may adore massages and manicures, another will be horrified by the idea of being touched by strangers, and what one person enjoys in bed might make another cringe. Yeah, so just ask yourself whether you truly like the sensation of this texture, or if you wear it because it looks good and other people like it. Ask yourself whether you feel that you can move freely and gracefully in each outfit, or if you feel constrained and awkward in it. This is a bit like the Marie Kondo technique of sitting with items and discarding those that don't bring you joy. If you find that you dislike certain clothes that you have been wearing out of habit, or because they suit the current popular aesthetic, ask yourself whether you truly want to continue wearing them. Then you can decide whether to keep them, donate, discard them, and purchase something that's more you instead. In fact, while you're doing that, you can ask yourself some great questions. Okay, so All right, let's see. If you are interested in being more in tune with your authentic self, then it might be a good idea to figure out exactly what that authenticity entails. And some of the questions you can explore to help you be true to yourself may include, if you only knew that you only had 1 year left to live, how would you spend it? Which colors make you feel happiest? Who would you invite to your last dinner party ever? How would you dress if you knew that nobody would judge you for your style choices? Where would you live if you could move anywhere? Whom do you respect the most? And if you know them personally, how do you think they would describe you? When was the last time you felt confident or powerful? And how have things changed since then? Describe your ideal partner. If you have one, how does this description compare to the partner you have now? What is the greatest compliment you have ever received? And is there anything you've always wanted to learn but haven't done so yet? These can be skills, languages, subjects, and so on. Asking yourself questions like these is great for creating a map to the type of person you want to be, rather than the type of person others expect you to be. For example, if you discover that the people you spend the most time with aren't the ones you'd want to see on your last day on earth, well, that tells you a lot about how you truly feel about them. In fact, it may encourage you to switch up your social circle so you're surrounded by people who share more of your interests and values. Okay, moving on. Create an ideal me mood board. And you can do this digitally or, like on platforms such as Pinterest, or you can go the old school way and glue inspirational images onto a large paper board. And on this, you can collect images, quotes, and even questions about the things you enjoy best and what is truly important to you. You know, you can draw from the answers to the questions that was asked earlier and find images of clothes in the colors you love best and post them there. And in simplest terms, you are creating a vision board dedicated to the ideal version of yourself, the one you daydream about being if you didn't have to live up to the other people's expectations. The visual reminders of how awesome that potential you could may eventually give you enough confidence to take steps toward becoming that person. And maybe you'll start wondering why other people's opinions and approval matter to you. And you may start to question all the things that have been holding you back from living more authentically. Quite often, when we find ourselves in group environments, we feel pressured to engage in performative behaviors in order to fit in with those around us. Okay, so also allow yourself space to play and be creative. Like, when is the last time you engaged in creativity or play? You know, children are constantly drawing, painting, sculpting things out of macaroni and mud, playing different games, but adults usually don't prioritize these things. Most of us have been programmed to place higher importance on getting chores done than expressing ourselves through art or music. So try to remember the types of creativity that you enjoyed most when you were younger. If those endeavors don't feel right to you anymore, try out a new wide variety of different art and craft forms to see what suits you best. Our interests and hobbies, they often change a great deal over the course of our lives, obviously. So just explore different art forms and games, including those that you would probably ordinarily shy away from. It's absolutely okay to play video games as an adult, as they've been shown to increase joy and elevate stress. So go ahead, finger paint, make wire wrap jewelry, take up whatever, let your heart and your soul guide you, and you'll feel a lot more peace and fulfillment as a result. And pay attention to what your body and your mind are trying to tell you. In most healthcare circles, including psychology, it's believed that conditions such as anxiety and depression are symptoms of disharmony in one's life. For example, a person might feel generally depressed without seeming to know where their sadness is coming from. But in reality, they know deep down that they are in a loveless relationship, or they absolutely hate the career path they've worked so hard to attain. They are grieving this truth on a soul deep level, but haven't consciously come to terms with the reality of it yet. Or someone may get waves of anxiety over the course of the day without understanding why either, especially if they haven't experienced anything that would cause it. And most doctors don't tell their patients that food allergies can cause anxiety and depressions, which is kind of crazy, right? Even substances such as coffee and sugar can cause anxiety spikes. If you have worked with a therapist to try and determine where these feelings are coming from and haven't gotten any clear answers, consider a consultation with a nutritionist, and you may discover things that have been throwing you out of balance, and they can be addressed with some dietary changes. And trust your intuition, guys, and talk to a healthcare professional to determine the potential causes or cause of what you're experiencing. And maybe keep a dream diary or journal, because elements that appear to us in our dreams often stem from our subconscious minds. And maybe they can inform us about topics we need to pay more attention to, or they may offer us clues about what we need on a fundamental level. For example, a person who dreams about eating cheese or ice cream may be in need of some more calcium. So the subconscious mind prods them to consume foods they know contain that mineral. So ensure that you have a pen and paper beside the bed, or that your phone is within reach and set to take dictation. And whether you snap awake in the middle of the night or ease into the day several hours later, record whatever it is you can remember from your dreamtime adventures. Even if a detail seems weird or insignificant, it may offer you great insight later on. So write down everything that you recall as often as possible. Then several months down the road, read back through your entries to see if you can find patterns. And make sure you spend time alone. Many people avoid spending time alone because they aren't comfortable in their own company. And this often happens when someone is actively trying to avoid their own thoughts, and thus keeps themselves occupied with conversations and tasks involving others. When they're alone, they might start to question things that they've been trying to maintain, or face truths that they don't particularly want to deal with. That said, though, silence and solitude are absolutely vital for one's personal development. A person cannot truly be in tune with themselves if they are never alone by themselves. And this is because we have to constantly adapt and compromise in order to exist alongside others. And when you spend time alone, you do not have to live performatively. You don't have to put energy into pretending to love someone's art project or listening to someone else complain about the bad day they had at work. And you don't have to dress to impress any other people or take part in activities that they are unlikely to mock or mess with. So when you get in tune with yourself, it feels as though everything in your life falls into place more easily. You will start trusting yourself more instead of being, you know, racked with self-doubt. You'll develop the confidence to be the version of yourself that makes you truly happy. And this might feel a little bit scary at times, especially if the real you is quite different from the version that you've grown accustomed to pretending to be. But in the end, the sense of peace and fulfillment that goes along with it will be well worth the nerve-wracking baby steps. You can absolutely do this. You definitely can. All right, y'all. Thank you so much for listening. I greatly appreciate it. Please make sure to hit that follow button and, if possible, share One Hot Mess with a friend. And I will talk to you guys later. Have an amazing day.